Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the upcoming Outlander series or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 26 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
So, announcements this week. I think the biggest thing we had this week was the Q&A with Meryl. Lots of interesting things we learned. We learned that they are currently shooting episodes 9 and 10 with Richard Clark as the director.
Mm-hmm. She confirmed that.
Uh-huh. She was confirmed. I thought it was interesting to find out that Bear McCreary will be scoring the episodes after they're completed. Now, I didn't think this was really news to people who are familiar with the way television shows are done, but I remember when I saw the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Jason Segel's character was a scorer. He scored, I believe he did the score for some sort of police procedural that was on TV, and they always showed him in the studio with his piano scoring with a big screen in the background so he would like kind of saw what was going on while he scored it. So it wasn't a huge surprise, but I do think it's an interesting thing to note. We found out that Sam does most of his own stunts.
In our discussion off the air, you brought up a good point that we know he's in great shape. We know that he trains and he works out a lot.
Yes, he is.
And he was in the
Batman Live.
Batman Live was quite a physical role.
Now, granted, I don't think it's quite as physical as the Spider-Man show that everyone keeps getting damaged while...
It's not even on... I mean, they closed it down, didn't they?
I think they did. What was it? Turn off the lights or...
I don't know.
Spider-Man.
It was just...
Dangerous is what it was. It was dangerous. I'm surprised they were able to continue as long as they did with insurance. They have to have insurance, mm-hmm. but knowing that people are being damaged... But I think that the Batman Live show was an active show with stunts in it as well, so I didn't think it was too much of a surprise that he would be doing his own stunts. But it was interesting to note. The writers are busy writing episodes 112 through 115. That's almost to the end of the season.
I know. We know that there are 16 episodes, and the 16 episodes are broken up between the five writers.
I believe so.
And so if they're, like Matt, for example, confirmed he did 4 and 9. That's one thing we do know. Ron Moore wrote the pilot, and if he did so, that leaves 15. 15 divided by 5 is 3, so that makes sense that they would each get 3, although Matt only told us 2 that he did. So who knows? That's just my Outlander math.
There was way too much math in that sentence for
me. It just seems like it would make sense with 5 writers that each get 3. But either way, we know that the scripts for the shows that have already been written and that are currently being filmed... already been filmed and are currently being filmed, obviously, are done.
My assumption is that if each of them is writing an episode, they don't say, okay, you work this week, you work next week, you work the week after that. So they kind of have to be writing them at the same time. But I think there has to be some sort of...
agreement?
Not even agreement. Just like working together between them. Because if there's things that they change from the book in the episodes, it might affect
later episodes.
Yeah. So I think there has to be some sort of...
So the fact that they're writing...
It's just gone.
It's a domino thing, kind of, maybe.
That's...
Number one, yes, we know they have to write in order.
Yes.
Likely they're writing in order. But, or at least the person who maybe has 3, 6, 15 or something like that, they're going to write 3 first because it's going to be filmed first. I mean, that just makes sense. But you're right. If they started with an end one... Even though they're not changing the story, per se, they would never add anything or take away anything huge and important. Little choices that are made along the way for the medium, mostly for adaptability, would definitely could affect later episodes. So it makes sense that although they break them down together and they see how the chapters would fall into an episode, then each writer goes off and does their own writing. It would make sense that, they have to keep that communication open the entire time through.
In my brain, I really want them to be sitting around a table all day, like in 30 Rock, like bouncing ideas off each other.
And someone wearing a hat.
Sure. All of that.
With a different message every day. Right.
Every week.
But with a Scottish accent.
So we learned that Claire's wedding ring is currently in discussions.
Mm-hmm.
So
they've talked about it a little bit.
I guess it hasn't been designed yet, but they're in that section of it where they're mm-hmm. in the discussion of how they're going to recreate it. I would be interesting to see how close it is
to the Claire's ring
that we've all, I wouldn't say we all have it, many people, Outlander fans, do own the Claire's ring that's been put out. So it'd be interesting to see what the mm-hmm. final product looks like and if it will be available for sale.
Oh my goodness.
Because okay. I'm sure this there is, will be
This is a not lot of- a bad thing, but I'm going to say it's like the M word. We know, God bless them for it, if there were not money to be made in this, Starz would not be making a show. Yes, they may have brilliant people who are working on it who are fans, but if they don't have a profit, not only, well, not, the biggest thing is there won't be a second season. That's just the end of it, right? We know that the show doesn't even technically exist yet, hasn't been premiered, and there is huge fan base. I mean, hello, we're like addicted, or I'm addicted to Twitter and all that. We're all over the place, and so are thousands and thousands and thousands of fans, and so are they. So their presence is huge, and thankfully so. They've engaged us really, really well. But at the end of the day, it has to be profitable. And I think with such an engaged fan base, who has all, before Starz even announced anything, before it was even a twinkle in anybody's eye, this current production or this current potential production, when the options were purchased, you just mentioned Claire's ring. There have been book-themed candles, character-themed jewelry. There are so many T-shirts. There are so many things that people are already interested in just because someone puts a word or a picture or something, even though it's not necessarily endorsed, obviously, by the author, etc., but something with the word Sassenach on it or something like that. You know, a thistle on it. They're gorgeous.
Well, you can't copyright a thistle.
But I'm saying if merchandise is being made by people, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that has absolutely nothing to do with the Starz production, I could only endeavor to guess that there's going to be merchandise. There will be some kind of merchandise, and I'm all that to say, I'll bring it around, bring it home now. You were saying that you wonder if they'd make that ring available. You know, I don't know if any series has had merchandise, something like fine jewelry merchandise.
Well,
but
not series.
Why not?
But what I have seen is like on those Sky Mall magazines.
Well, there was always that. Wait, Twilight. Bella's ring.
No, like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings had like Galadriel's like necklace and Arwen's.
But was it
whatever.
Fine jewelry?
Oh, yeah. They were really expensive. Okay. I mean.
So, yes.
They were fine. No, they were heck of expensive. So I can only imagine that they were like quality products, you know what I mean? But I think definitely knowing Outlander fans like I think we do, I think there's definitely a market for it.
There's been a market before the show started.
So just keep us in mind, Starz, as you're discussing Claire's ring, that we would probably like to purchase it. So you should, you know, mass produce.
It'll be a hand model.
Okay. We also found out that there would be no breaks in the filming schedule.
Poor them, but
they're going to be filming straight through. Now,
to the end, whatever that means.
For me, that's awesome. For me personally, for them, maybe not so much. But I like to think, let's get it done. But they did have a really kind of a long break for Christmas.
Well, some of them did. Terry came home, I think, for 2 weeks. She left right after, like, the second or the day after New Year's or something. She was back in there because they had to start cranking out more costumes.
Yeah, but they gave her a puppy, so she's okay.
They just got that puppy. They just bought that puppy.
I know they did, but it's
they
the cutest
just give
thing
her
ever.
A puppy. Oh, that
was a joke.
I thought Ginger Jasper, and he is adorable, but oh
Which
my
is
gosh,
not a
that
puppy.
Puppy.
And if you make a Ginger Jasper into a puppy, it
oh
makes it
gosh.
12 times
if you
cuter.
If you make a Jasper into a puppy. Okay.
Latest word from Diana, her website, is August as a production date as to when it might be released.
When we started this podcast, it was for the sole purpose of discussing the show. And we knew that we were not going to have a show for a little bit. So we thought, okay, let's do a read-along. And then we said, okay, we have these opportunities for some fabulous interviews. Let's do those. So that stretches out the book a little bit. And then we were afraid, oh my gosh, we're going to have to start doubling up chapters because we're going to get too close by the time this whole thing is 41 chapters. We're only on, this episode is chapter 21. Even with interviews, we have a few things we're working on and a few things we hope for, but even with things that we know we kind of know we have, you know, we added in a few extra weeks to add on to the end.
Well,
right now we're ending like at the end of June. So I'm really scared.
Well, here's the thing. The goal is to have enough content to see us through until the show airs.
And because we're not making it, people.
Because once the show airs, we have built-in content. So yeah, I mean,
4 months of content.
It's a lot of content. It's a lot less prep for us once the show starts airing because it's all, you know, provided.
Well, the read along I could see easily going into July, but not more than a few weeks.
I don't know. We'll see. She does have some chapters that are longer than others.
What we could do if it's really long is just record the whole thing and then break it up. Anyway, these are just ideas. We will definitely have one every week up until then.
But yeah. Then once the show, you know, the series. Series one ends and we're going into, you know, the hiatus.
Knock on wood.
Oh, we will get a season two. I fully believe it, and I'm going to state that now. I stand behind this statement.
We believe we're getting a season two. We're not confirming anything.
Stars, I believe in you.
Oh, we both
We're getting a season two. So, after season one ends, we go back into announcements and we start the read-along for Dragonfly and Amber.
That book is going to kill me. That book... That year or whatever. Is that longer than that?
You know, each book is slightly longer than the book before.
I knew of that, but is it like hugely longer?
I know is that if she continues on at this pace,
she'll be 92. The
book after Moby will be like 4,000 pages.
Goodness. Okay.
Back to where we were. So that's the end of pretty much it for the Q&A. We did get a new How to Speak Outlander this week, where it was really important, actually. I think this is something that's very important. It's name pronunciations for our two most disputed names, I would say, in the series. And that's for Leghair and Galas. I think there's been a lot less people...
You mean Leary?
I'm getting there.
Oh.
There's been a lot less confusion with Galas than there is with Leary. See? Leghair. It's easier.
Leghair is funny, too.
Leghair. It's all funny. Anyway, Leary is there. I think there's a lot more confusion with Leary because there's a lot of consonants that aren't pronounced.
Well, there's a lot of vowels that come together to make one sound. And so you just get actually fewer consonants than vowels. You just get lost in the vowels.
You do. But I think there's a lot less confusion with Galas, which was my whole point, which is why I pronounced it correctly the first time. But that was good. That was basically the crux of this. Mm-hmm. And we got to see some more stuff from the fan event, which was nice. We also got a new article from TV Guide. They posted another article from...
And a video
from the TCAs with Sam and Katrina. Which is we always love to see more videos of them. Really cute picture they posted, too. We got some new photos from Outlander on Facebook, and it was only on Facebook, which I thought was strange because usually they post everything on several forums, but usually it's always on the Instagram. But this one was not on the Instagram. It was a face on their Facebook page. It was a picture of, I would say, the main cast members, so like Dougal and Claire, seated at a meal, I'm assuming at Leuk.
All in mid-drink. And the caption was, "Slant to tell the Outlander fans," or something like that.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's Letitia. We've got... I'm assuming Letitia,
Dougal and Colm.
Colm, and then Claire with a lovely décolletage, and Dougal. And I'm kind of confused with her décolletage, because Letitia has none showing.
Oh, you mean it's covered up?
Yeah, it's completely covered. You can't see anything, but Claire's got her boobies
maybe
just hanging out of her dress.
Maybe because she's married. Maybe. She is. Maybe once
right,
you're
married,
you can't
do that. Right, but Claire's a widow. I'm just saying. I mean, they look nice, Katrina. They look real nice.
Okay, let's stop it off the tatas now.
Anyway, I'm just saying. That's like...
But last time they had a picture,
in such a dark picture where everything is so dark and she's so alabaster and they're just like, wham, right? Almost center in the picture.
Okay.
And we also got a picture on the Instagram account of Claire getting all bloodied up.
I love it.
You know what's...
Claire hair, I love it.
I know, but it's... It's almost the exact same expression that she's making in the shot that this is from. When she kind of walks out, they show it in the trailer, with her walking out from the surgery, I'm assuming.
And I think
bloodied.
Katrina tweeted after this was released, she said that was from the very first day of filming. But she does look very tired and look very...
She's like, ugh, could we just do this already? And that, I think, is it for announcements this week. And now on to the read-along, chapter 21. It's in French. I'm not going to butcher it. Ginger.
You want me to butcher it?
Yes.
Une mauvaise quart d'heure after another.
One
bad
quarter of an hour
after the other. Okay. Claire has been, we ended the last chapter with, or we saw in the end of chapter 20 that Claire had been saved from her drowning, near drowning incident. Although she probably would have ended up saving herself because
she was working her way toward it.
She had air.
She had a plan, which is the most important thing.
And then part of the plan was to grab onto something, and she did. Unfortunately, that something was
a red coat.
A red coat's hand. So now this chapter opens with her at Fort William, where she's been taken, and she is in the office of Frank.
Not Frank.
Not Frank. Frank's, Randall. Frank's not quite alive yet. Of Black Jack Randall. So this is at Fort William, and
we should call him 21.
Why?
Black Jack, 21.
Oh. That's kind of not bad.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I did not write this down, but I thought this... Oh, no. I guess there are two things I didn't notice or didn't remember from other readings. This one was that I don't remember her doodling with the water weed.
I do remember that, and I always think that it's really funny that she becomes kind of...
Artistic.
Well, not even artistic, just kind of like infantile about the whole thing. She's like, screw you.
And we don't know what the words are, but they have to do this. So they could pick
anything. They're going to show it. Because you can't just say it was a rude word and not show it. So I'm wondering if they're going to go like British rude.
Mother effer or...
You know what, though? That's not British at all.
It's not?
No. That's so American to me. Something with
maybe.
I don't know what it's going to be. It could be anything, but like, that does not strike me as British. 1940s dirty thing. Now,
I would say early 20th century.
Probably. Right. So it would have to be something probably with bloody or one of those.
Probably bloody, yeah. So she's blotted or doodled something with the ink and the water weed onto his blotter on the desk. And she props it up, or something on something, and then she props it up on the pigeon, in front of the pigeonholes. That, I didn't remember that either. That made me laugh.
The whole thing, like, seriously, that whole scene cracks me up, the beginning of
that's
it.
That's like, she's there's going like, to be, I can't wait to see that, because it's going to be totally Katrina in her sodden rags, mm-hmm. or not so much rags, they're clothing, but in her sodden clothing.
Dripping wet hair.
Well, her hair's probably kind of dry. Her outer clothes are dry, it's the under things that were wet. But anyway, she's still dripping.
Which means she's going to have wild hair.
Oh, gosh, I can't wait.
Like, crazy hair.
They probably wouldn't waste, and by waste, I don't mean that we wouldn't like it, but I mean valuable screen time. They probably would not use 5 full minutes, that's a lot, of silence. But whatever this is, I could imagine the only noise that we're going to hear is the noise she makes by picking things up.
I think it'll be a montage of her rooting through the office.
Yeah, quick change to scene to scene to scene.
Right. Like, rooting through the office, and then...
Finding things.
And then doodling with water weed on.
And then
on
setting it up, and yeah.
Yeah.
So then she...
Take notes, Ron Moore. We're brilliant.
Oh, hey, no.
I'm kidding.
She looks around his office, and she notes that it's actually rather nice for a captain. Basically, she searches through his entire office, and she goes through the cupboard. She finds his wig. I don't remember this either. She takes his wig to the desk and sprinkles sand on it. I was like, oh, my goodness. This is part of that montage. It has to be.
Like, it's... Seriously, it's like straight-up grade school stuff.
It
is.
Like, it's...
She's literally just...
And I wrote down...
Doing things to try to piss him off.
I wrote down that she'll either have... If they do this, I can imagine Claire with either just a perfectly straight face, maybe a little smirk as she's doing this, or a bitchy Claire face with a smile. I can just imagine this. And then she is sitting behind his desk, as he would, looking into his hand mirror when he comes in. So she's looking at his whip after he comes in, and he sees her looking at his whip, and he says, while that idea has some attraction, or some attractions, he wants to think of something better. So he pours them some claret, and he congratulates her on her marriage. And Claire just about now begins to worry that Jamie and the McKenzies might actually not find her that soon, because she's seeing it's not evening, but it's beginning to be afternoon, and she's getting a little bit worried.
Well, because she figures there was a break of time where they said it would be 3 or 4 hours before they returned, so she's figuring on that, wondering with that break of time. So she's figuring 3 or 4 hours, then Jamie returning, finding her missing, then trying to figure out where she went. So I don't know that he would immediately assume that she was taken by the British. In her brain.
To her mind, yeah. So BJR says that he wonders, and I can imagine him a little smirk on his face or a little twinkle in his eye. He wonders why the Highlanders didn't keep a better watch on her, and also wonders if Claire herself had left on purpose. He still insists on learning the name of her employer. He is still convinced we can see that she is some kind of spy.
Everyone still is. I mean, how else can you account for her?
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't say anyone. Maybe Jamie's the closest to being convinced she's not.
He's the only one, but he still has his doubts.
So, BJR's, that's just a mouthful to say. Randall's, I can't say Randall.
21.
No.
21.
So, BJR's hair is tied back, I never noticed this before, with a blue silk ribbon. And I think, side note, I wonder if they'll keep this in the show.
I mean, it's so terribly specific
to mention. Yeah, that's what I mean.
It would be a shame to not keep it. As far as costuming goes, like, so much is done that you have to kind of pull from the time and pull from the era that when you actually get
a little detail, a you have to use
that
it.
Has yeah. specific details as to what it's supposed to be.
And it's attainable.
Why wouldn't you use
it? And it's attainable.
Exactly.
It's not like it's... Yeah. So then they have tea. He pours her some tea. And Claire makes some remark, and she cracks him up, and when she sees him laugh, she says the look on his face, his charm. He's a handsome man.
Well, she keeps seeing glimpses of Frank.
She does see glimpses of Frank, but she says that she now understands, or she can see, why he would have these letters to him written by women in the bottom left-hand door of his desk.
You know, she's really good.
She must be a spy. Diane is just not telling us these things.
Well, she obviously is. She's just not giving the information.
She's not helping
anyone.
Herself. If someone thinks you're a spy and they come in and you're rifling, or you have already rifled through everything, you are not helping your case. So Claire gets a little nervous, and she also, I think, truly does have to go to the bathroom. So she gets herself taken to the privy with an accompaniment? No, that's like playing music as you go out the door? No. With someone.
I mean, there probably will be accompaniment.
What's the word? No.
Come on. It's Bear McCreary. It's his job. He's like,
bathroom music.
Here, you need to like score this with like potty music. Go.
No, no potty music.
No.
So what do you call it? A handler, basically? A handler. But there's another word.
A watcher?
No one watches her go pee.
No, but he's
someone accompanies her. He's a reminder. Yeah, a handler, but not in a not in a kind
like
way.
A guard.
Yeah, pretty much a guard. So someone walks her to the hot spot, whatever, and she does her thing. And while she's in there, she obviously these are thoughts in her mind. But this is the first time that Diana alludes to this sadist with a smile kind of thing. I wrote the quote, "A sadist with a sense of humor was particularly dangerous." And this is the first time we hear that he's evil and that he's obviously beaten Jamie.
All kind of assume that he's a sadist.
But
it's the first time it's been written.
And how dangerous combination that is. So BJR intends to send Claire, we find out, to the toll booth in Edinburgh. So Claire then, it's hinted at to us, she plays her only card. She mentions the Duke of Sandringham. And she gets the response. She knows she's shocked him because he spits out his tea, basically. And Claire has already gone through his office, so she knows right where to go to offer him a handkerchief. That was awesome. Oh, Claire. Or she'll say, Diana.
But by doing that, she totally plays her hand. And says...
Not from the handkerchief.
But by going through his office and giving him a handkerchief, she's basically just said to him, "I have rifled your entire office."
That's true. Well, he probably knew she looked at things because she found his mirror set.
Could have been.
Were they on top? Well, who knows?
Who knows?
I guess I didn't read that closely or didn't remember that detail. So basically, he doesn't take it, but he's getting temper, BJR. Basically, he lunges at her, she throws the teapot, and he orders his orderly, to hold her while he ties her wrists behind her. Then he tells the orderly to go out and not to come back, no matter what he hears. She's tied up. He has her against the desk. He points the knife at her just above her breasts and pops part of the fabric using the knife. And this reminds me of The Exile for some reason. I have this image of Claire's bloobies growing page to page.
I'm really bothered by the fact that you're using the word bluebies.
Okay, is that boobie better?
I don't know.
I don't like boobies.
I don't like bluebies either. I almost feel like she's like boobs or something. I don't know. There's no way to make this okay.
Okay, so then anyway, then he cuts underneath a boob. I don't know what's better to say, Summer.
Oops.
Look, I and then it, hold on. And then I quote, it sprang out. That made me laugh.
I mean, that like, are they, hello? Is there spring action?
I don't know.
I can't wait to see how they film that.
They float or something. They're helium filled.
I mean, here's the thing. My only assumption with that
I didn't know where you were going with that one.
There was a visual that just went with what I just did.
Yeah, anyway, don't do that.
My only thought is that they are so tightly compressed behind the fabric that when they cut the fabric, that it literally just sprung. Like, yeah.
Like, or even fell out. It didn't fell out and down. I'm sorry. Right. There it is, gravity.
Well, I don't know. How is she laying back, or is she...
She's against the desk, probably at an incline?
An angle?
Is that right? An angle.
An incline.
Incline, same thing.
She's skiing?
She's creating her own incline. Okay. Her angle. Yeah, her angle.
Anyway, the point is, my assumption is that when the pressure of the corset or whatever he cuts through is released, they spring out.
Okay, got it. So, enough of the boobies. He thrusts his knee between her legs, and she falls into the desk, and he's raising her skirts, and his hand goes to his breeches, and she screams, and he...
But I love the description of the scream, because she's like, I don't think it's going to do any good, but I should try it anyway, just in case.
Exactly.
You never know.
She's like, so, okay, ready, just go. So she screams, and he appears to like it, and he tells her to do it some more. And she snaps at him, get stuffed. No, I'm sorry. That is 20th century. I could be wrong, but it just sounds so modern.
It British, does, but very modern. But even more modern than the 40s.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Here's my assumption. My assumption is Diana has done so much research that she can find a place that it was actually said prior to modern times. However, that to me feels very modern. Very, very modern.
So she actually was about to respond. She was actually about to respond to him sexually.
Well, just because of the way he looked at her. She got
that little curl came down in front of his forehead, and Tobias, she was having a Frank moment.
It's not even Tobias yet.
I don't care. It is. In your head. In everyone's heads.
They haven't even filmed it.
That's probably true. I declare. Anyway.
So is there a thumb war about to happen?
So she was about a thumb war.
I declare. Do you know if I've ever heard anyone say declare?
Oh, sorry. No. So she's about to respond to him, and then
she remembers where she is and who she's with.
She's about to respond to him because of a look he had with the hair on the forehead, all that thing, and then he basically smashes her boob.
He tweaked it. Like Tune in Tokyo kind of thing.
What?
That was an 80s movie reference.
I've never heard of that ever.
But it kind of seemed like he like grabbed it and wrenched it.
Well, once he did that, the point is her little impulse went away.
Well,
whatever was coming.
If anything, the thing that we've gotten from Frank was that he was a perfect gentleman. Yes. Now, while he may not have gone downtown, which is very evident by the way she reacts to Jamie, he was never anything but gentle with her, it seemed. That he was, you know, perfect gentleman. So, the minute that Blackjack Randall...
Tweaks her,
if you will.
She's like, oopsie.
She's like, okay, this is done. Back to reality. I don't see you as being who I think you are anymore.
And then this made me, like, a little bit sick to my stomach. I typed this in because I couldn't believe I read it. It's like, quote, heavy flopping movement against my leg. Claire, that's gross.
That's like a nightmare.
I know. And heavy? Does that mean? I don't even want to know why it's heavy. Stop there now. So then Claire realizes that...
Don't ask questions you don't want me to answer because I almost had an answer for you.
We're not answering that. Claire realizes that he would not be able to perform unless she screamed or unless she reacted really, really scared. And he slaps her after she remarks, like, that, is it?
It's like she wants to get hurt. Like, sometimes it's like she's asking to be like...
Oh, she gets... Okay, she's not her own best friend all the time.
No, she rarely is.
And right after this... She sees or notices a small flicker of movement at the window, and then in comes the knight of red-haired armor.
Oh my god, I don't even want to talk about this scene.
This scene, okay, warning to everybody, this is not a spoiler alert, because if we
if you're
assume,
listening, you've read it.
Yeah, we assume. Otherwise, so sorry. Not sorry. The only thing I'm going to say is that this, from here to the end, mostly the end of the chapter, but this part of the chapter and to the end, this got me a little bit
Well, here's the thing.
Teary-eyed.
This particular part doesn't bother me so
no,
much.
It's
later in the confrontation when he recounts it that I get
Yeah. This the action part is like you're watching it.
You don't think about it
now
because it's just happening.
Because he's saving her and you're happy. But at the end, when they're going back and forth with each other, you're kind maybe not angry with him, you kind of understand where he's coming from, but you're like, just, you know, be nicer, Jamie, and then you're like, Claire, calm down a little bit, and then at the end, when it happens, you're like, oh, holy crap. So, Jamie's crouched in the window, and he tells Randall to take his hands off his wife. He has a pistol and is aimed at Randall. Randall is frozen with shock, but at this point, he cannot see him.
But he definitely recognizes the voice.
He just knows that there's someone there. He turns to see who had spoken, saw Jamie, and then begins to laugh. And he makes a joke about Jamie's sister. That was not so nice. And he points the knife at Claire's throat. Jamie throws the pistol down. Randall picks it up and lets go of the knife. The knife goes away. He points the pistol at Jamie. Jamie rushes the pistol. Claire tries to scream, but she can't. Randall fires the pistol, or tries to. Jamie punches him in the gut and then in the nose, and he's down for the count. So Randall's out down for the count, but all these soldiers or these men are coming. So Claire is shocked that he came in with an empty gun, but he comes back with, if I were loaded, wouldn't I have just shot him in the first place? They have an 8-foot drop out of a window. They press against the wall. Then Jamie maneuvers them to a corner and then up a ladder. There's an explosion. They perform a Mission Impossible / MacGyver feat of rappelling down a building using rope and a torn flag. Then it was to the horses and off to safety. This will be a major... Hopefully. Yeah, no, a major action sequence.
Oh, for sure.
I'm so excited. So, they're on the horses. They're clippity-cloppity, galloping, gulpy, whatever they're doing. And Jamie is pretty pissy.
What? Gallopy, gallopy.
I don't know what I said. Jamie's pretty pissy. Claire's trying to get him to get over it already, and he stops the party or the horses, and he pulls her off the horse and takes her a little bit away to give him a tiny bit of privacy. He gives her a good tongue lashing. He's tired of having to prove she's not a spy, tired of having to watch her every moment, tired of seeing people try to rape her.
Seriously, in the course of like a day.
I know.
That was in like in the course of a day,
gosh.
Wasn't it?
Oh,
one
Lord.
Day?
Yeah.
The same day.
And this gets her gander up, and she gives it right back to him. She talks about how he expects her to behave, that women are fit for certain things only, must wait for the man, yada, yada, yada. She tries to kick him in the nuts. He tells her he wants to slap her senseless, and he thinks she got caught on purpose to punish him for what happened in the glade, the near rape by the two deserters. He thinks she's trying to get back at him by putting herself in Randall's hands, and he's really, really stuck on that, and she's stuck on this ownership property of woman thing.
That whole scene, his guilt is just eating him up, and he's taking it out on her.
I think so, too.
And I thought that the whole thing, because it just felt like he was putting all this on her. I said that already. But when she turned around and was like, you're right, you should have done that. I think she surprised herself,
She
definitely surprised me by that as well.
I have something up. I have something about that. No, you're absolutely right. So she rants on and says that the only thing a wife is good for is to be there when he wants to insert plug A into slot B. He turns white and they go back and forth. And then Claire says what she hadn't realized was on her heart. That she was angry that he had failed to protect them from the English deserters. He points out or reminds her of the post, asks her if she remembers the post that they saw at Fort William, and says that that was where he had been tied up and whipped. He knew that if he'd been caught just now saving her, he would have likely been flogged and hung. But even knowing that, he still went in after her. He had to kill a guard to take the empty gun. And when he's explaining this is when, not that we're hard-hearted, but at least for myself as a reader, my heart begins to break.
Well, here's
when
the
he
thing.
Explains
when
all
he
of this.
Says that he ran to that window because he heard her scream with scream with an empty gun, he went to that room.
Yeah.
I literally, what happens is I replay the whole scene all over again
from his
with that thought of he just rushed that room with an empty gun.
Yeah.
Knowing that he could, had not he hurt couldn't her. Do Help anything. Her. All he could do was
fake it.
Not even fake it. Just all he had was bravado.
Hope. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Go in there and hope that that was enough.
And either having a very, very, very good idea or knowing. Although there's no way you can, well, I guess he's pretty much knowing because he knows who the commander is. Knowing that the person he's trying to save her from would have him dead in a heartbeat.
Oh, for sure.
And whipped, and which is worse, tortured and killed. So when he says, oh man, when he says he killed the guard, I mean, she's not, and I understand she's in a bit of a mess when she's with Randall, absolutely. But, and it's understandable why she is so caught up in her head because she just survived a near rape.
Well,
and
she's
happy that he's there, but she doesn't understand where his anger is coming from, except for, you know, she sees it as you're mad at me for leaving the Glade, at least at first. And anyway, it goes back and forth, but when he's telling her everything he did and he heard her scream, and like you said, he left his blade in the guard, grabbed his gun and left, her scream was killing him. And I'm apparently killing my cat. So he says, I would have killed a dozen men to get to you, Claire. And his voice cracked. And his eyes were wild with pain and rage. And her anger was gone by then. He turns from her and says that his pride is hurt. He leans against a tree and says in a low voice, this is something that, just revisiting it, brought tears to my eyes. I did not cry. You're tearing my guts out, Claire. This line, this line has to be in there. That's all I'm going to say. It has to be.
This whole scene.
Well, of course, like, the scene. And then, not only, we've seen hints up till now that Claire has been affected emotionally, physically, yes, but also emotionally by Jamie. We see little bits of it, but she, at least the narrative, she feels something similar. She says she feels something similar to what he's just expressed. And she goes to him and apologizes, and he turns to her and holds her. He also asks for her forgiveness, which just breaks my heart even more. I mean, how he just, like, ooh.
Well, here's the thing about this whole scene. She still doesn't understand why he's so angry. And she won't in this chapter. It comes later. Because she doesn't understand the ramifications of what she did and the ramifications of the choices she made that led her to being captured and what that meant to all of the men involved in her rescue and with the clan.
Gosh, yeah.
So she doesn't understand why he's so angry with her. She's like, well, I'm safe. You saved me. What's the deal?
What's the problem
Why
now?
Are you still mad at me?
You got me. I'm sorry for doing what I did. That part, that was my fault, but you guys rescued me. That's what you're here for. Let's go be happy and not get over it, but you were successful. Let's be happy.
So she doesn't understand that yet. So there's still a lot she doesn't get yet about being in the time period that she's in.
Oh, she,
which will become painfully clear to her very shortly.
Jamie is learning a lot by having her as a wife, but having to deal with her and everything. But she, poor Claire, has the most to learn of anyone in the entire series.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, okay, we're sticking to Outlander. She has the most to learn, and right now my heart feels for Jamie. But if you try and step back, knowing what she doesn't know, you can almost be sad for Claire.
I mean, you have to be sad for Claire because you understand, because first of all, the story is from her point of view. So you have to understand that, yes, while what she did endangered everybody,
her
motives for doing it were pure.
And character-based.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's not, and that's the problem that you're going to have with the two groups of people is they don't understand that what she did wasn't personal and intended to affect them. It was just to further her thing.
Right.
And she can't. No.
So she's blocked or endangered or in her predicament because she can't share what her motivation is or what her motivations are. So she goes to him and apologizes. I think I already said this. He turns to her and holds her. He also asks... Yeah, I said this. He also asks her for forgiveness. They get back on the horse, and some things have... You know, it's definitely better than it was when they got off the horse.
I mean,
just
he's definitely
now.
Holding her again.
He's holding her. But Claire feels that still some things were, quote, not yet healed between them.
Could Do you imagine, like, riding a horse with someone who's, like, doing their best to not touch you?
Well, that was before, not now.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
That's awkward.
That, how awkward that initial horseback ride must have been, where she's just
Wait, when she was first found?
When he first, like, was riding, when they first escaped.
Oh, not when she came through the stones.
No, when they first escaped from Randall, and he's riding off on the horse, and she was saying, you know, he was very standoffish.
Oh, yeah, and that... That's awkward.
And he was being nice enough by keeping her warm with his guilt, but that was it. And it was very, you know. Riding a horse with someone is very intimate in and of itself because it's not a very large space.
I'm sorry, riding a horse as a, well, I guess a male too, but riding a horse as a human is very intimate. That's all I'm going to say.
By yourself?
You are straddling something and you're doing a... Bumpada, bumpada, bumpada. Like, certain sway movement with your body, yes. It's a little bit...
No.
I'm just saying, you're not walking, you're not sticking straight up and down.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing, I'm just saying. That's actually, I think, a lot of, besides the fact that they were straddling, a lot of the reason I think, and I'm not going to say anything more because I have not researched this.
They wanted women to wide side saddle?
A wide side saddle?
Right, side saddle.
I don't know.
A wide side saddle would be inappropriate.
I don't know the exact... I think the side saddle had more to do with the straddling or not saddling, or to keep certain lady bits.
I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that they were in skirts.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that was the biggest thing. It's like when bicycles were first invented, it's why female bicycles have a slope to them and male bicycles have a big bar. Is because women were wearing skirts when they had
bicycles. Isn't it funny? We don't really wear skirts that much anymore, and they still have dips.
Yeah, but have you ever, like...
Tried to ride a male bike?
Have you ever come off a male bike?
A little bit, like, uncarefully?
And, like, jammed it. And I don't understand why a male bike, why a male individual would want a bike like that.
Because I know
how bad it hurts when I get, like...
Because we're internal.
Jammed into that.
And men must have a...
Right?
Okay. Enough about the lady and
anyway
men bits.
And that about wraps up chapter 21. Join us back next week when we will cover, I'm assuming, chapter 22.
That is the plan, Stan.
That's what we do. Which would be the reckoning. Buckle your seatbelts, people.
Summer said buckle.
I did say
oopsie,
buckle.
Watch out. Tune in next.
Tune in.
There's
download next.
Listen next week. Be sure to listen next week. Whenever you want. That's the beauty of the podcast. They're available for download or streaming, whatever. Whatevs. And
just come back. Join us.
Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/OutlanderPod. Or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.
I dreamt it last night that my young